She literally bit my head off. That's the kind of sentence that has language critics figuratively climbing the wall. But our linguist Jeff Nunberg isn't sure what all the fuss is about.
Sometime around the beginning of the 18th century, people started to use the adverb literally to indicate that they intended their words in the strict literal sense, as in after 6 weeks of fasting, he was literally dying of hunger. And as best I can figure, it was no more than a week after that that somebody had the idea of using the word in a figurative way, as in, she literally bit my head off. Writers have been stretching literally ever since then. Thackeray wrote, I literally blazed with wit, and Dickens described a character in Nicholas Nickleby as literally feasting his eyes. And in later years, the list grew to include Joyce, Fitzgerald, and Nabokov, not to mention Jean Stafford, who wrote at one point that her cat had started having literally millions of kittens. But despite those illustrious antecedents, that loose use of literally has come in for a hard time from the language critics. Intolerable, an assault on the language, a false coin that makes honest traffic in words impossible. Those are surprisingly vehement condemnations for what is at worst a pretty minor infraction. Granted, the use of literally can have inadvertently comic effects when a football announcer says they literally hammered the quarterback into the ground. That's the kind of sentence that the old New Yorker liked to run as a newsbreak at the bottom of the page. But where's the harm in it? After all, if I'm starving is an exaggeration, then I'm literally starving is just a bigger exaggeration. What would the critics want you to say? I'm figuratively starving? Where would be the fun if every exaggeration had to wear a warning stripe on its sleeve? When you think about it, the objection to the loose use of literally is very odd. It amounts to saying that literally is the only word in the English language that you're never allowed to use in a figurative way. But then, language critics themselves have always been an innocently literal-minded lot, the kind of people who believe that you can draw a neat line between literal and figurative meaning and stick scrupulously to one side of it. That notion has a powerful appeal in American life, and not just as it touches grammar. That came home to me when I was reading a recent book by the anthropologist Vincent Crapanzano called Serving the Word, which is a look at the American affinity for literalism in all its forms, from the pulpit to the bench. There may be differences between religious fundamentalists and legal textualists, but they both start with a faith in literal meaning, a kind of inland waterway where you can steer your words at a safe remove from the squalls of metaphor. That illusion of safe passage probably has a lot to do with another 18th century invention, the dictionary. When you run your eyes down those neat columns of entries, it's easy to think you can pull the meanings of words out of context and range them in clear glass boxes. But lexicographers know better than anybody else that it's all smoke and mirrors. In his preface to the first great English dictionary, Samuel Johnson wrote that the meanings of words can no more be ascertained in a dictionary than a grove in the agitation of a storm can accurately be delineated from its picture in the water. That's the problem I have with the critics who get down on people for using literally wrong. I have trouble knowing when it's being used right. As soon as you try to pin literal meaning down, you realize how spectral it is. Language is shot through with figures of speech, most of them so pedestrian and run-of-the-mill that they pass us right by. That's all that literal-minded means in the end. You can't hear the metaphors coming out of your mouth. Still, literal meaning is one of the grand illusions that makes modern life possible. The other day I spent a half hour on the phone with United Airlines having an animated conversation about the meaning of the phrase 7 day, and I realized that when it suits my purpose, I can be as much of a literalist as Jerry Falwell or Antonin Scalia. There are no relativists on a waiting list.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.